All right, let's be real. What has been the hardest thing about your pregnancy and postpartum journey? Is it the postpartum painful sex that nobody talks about? What are you supposed to do with that? Is it the fact that you might have torn during delivery and you have no idea how to heal now that you're in postpartum? Welcome to the Onas Podcast, where we bring on mothers, parents, and pregnant postpartum individuals to talk about their journey and their experiences to give that knowledge back to people that need it. And we are also attached to theonascollaborative.com, which is a free online educational directory where we help moms and parents connect to maternity care providers in their local area. We are here to give the power back to you guys so you have a choice in your journey. We'll have space for midwives, doulas, pelvic floor PTs, massage therapists. And as we continue expanding, we hope that we can support you. All right, we hope you enjoy this podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Onas Podcast. My name is Erin. I am the founder and your host. I just got back from a walk, so I'm feeling so much better. So this week we have an exciting episode with Emily. She is from Northern New South Wales, Australia, and she's actually going to be talking to us about her pregnancy and birth experience with two of her children. And we're super excited. We actually connected with Emily through our podcast with Talia. Talia, if you go back to one of our podcasts, she's actually a midwife and a mom out of Northern New South Wales as well. And they are best friends. So we were super excited and we hope you enjoy this episode.
I grew up in Fujian, which is in northern New South Wales in Australia. And it's like a really sweet little place because we got the best of both worlds growing up. We had like beautiful farmland all around us where we rode horses and like had a great kind of wild childhood. And then it was also like 5 minutes from the beach. So we could even ride the horses to the beach. It was just awesome. And I also grew up performing in the circus.
Wow.
So it's a little circus in Mullumbimby near Byron Bay. And we did tours up and down the coast. We even toured Europe as teenagers. So that was really cool. And up until having my first baby, I was coaching kids as well in the circus. So that was pretty cool. And I was also track work riding with racehorses. So that's just basically exercising racehorses, getting them fit to race. So very kind of fun job, but I had to stop doing that when I got pregnant, obviously. A bit dangerous. And yeah, it was a bit of a surprise pregnancy. So I had to move back in with mum and dad because I had to stop working there. And so when throughout my whole pregnancy, we had a full house, like both my brothers were still living at home and one of their girlfriends and a dog and mum and dad. And yeah, it was crazy, but I had heaps of support. And I basically lived there until because my partner was in the army and he was posted in Darwin at the time and he was getting reposted down this way, so we were kind of finding a house and everything, but I wanted to birth at a particular hospital nearby, so I stayed with mum and dad so I could birth there and have the continuity midwifery care. So yeah.
Okay, you have a very
background.
You have a very interesting life. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit.
What did you do in the circus?
So I was a contortionist. So that's like doing really flexible type stuff.
So cool.
I also did aerial things like have you ever seen, it's called Lyra. It's a hoop hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
And so I did that. And also my husband was in the circus before he joined the army too, and we did teeter board together. So that's like a giant seesaw where people jump on one end and you fly off the other end.
Oh my god.
So he would we would launch each other in the air.
That is so fun. I love it. No, that's definitely the most interesting
question. So we started dating in high school, and I roped him into the circus.
Very cool. And so what led you into wanting to work with, you did say that you grew up around horses, like taking the horses to the beach and everything. What made you want to work on training race horses?
Well, my friend started doing it straight out of school. And one day she was kind of like, I was out riding on her farm with her, and she's like, we need more riders at the track. Do you want to come give it a go? And I was like, okay. And they basically put me on a racehorse on my first day. So yeah, got thrown into that. But luckily it takes a lot of fitness and strength to do. But luckily I had my circus background. So, but if I tried it now, I'll die. I'd be so sore. bit unfit at the moment.
That's incredible.
It's lots of fun. Like, it's very exhilarating, but it's also very tiring. And you start at like 4:30 in the morning, so it's a very tiring work.
I imagine. And so when you're doing this work, you actually got pregnant, and at this point your partner went up to Darwin for work?
He was already in the army, and he was posted in Darwin at the time, and we were only seeing each other like every so often when he'd fly down. And I did have one point where I broke my hand riding the racehorses and got a bit of time off and went to Darwin to see him. But yeah, we weren't seeing each other very often, and so it was a bit of a surprise. We weren't really planning it, but everything kind of panned out really nicely, and it all worked out.
Amazing. And so you decided to stay home with your parents and your siblings. And so what was your pregnancy like?
Oh, it was so cruisy and easy. Like, I was kind of like, I really like pregnancy. It's so nice. And I did get a bit sick from about 8 or 9 weeks to probably 18 weeks. It wasn't like terrible, but just that feeling of just that nauseous feeling kind of, and I'd get a bit worse during the afternoon. I remember one time my brother left like a Domino's pizza in the fridge, and just the smell of that just set me off, and I couldn't make it to the bathroom. I had to run outside and throw up over the balcony. But it was just like instant. The smell of Domino's pizza just got to me. But other than that, it was more just like just that nauseous feeling. And once that went away, I was so like, it was so nice. And Talia and I would do lots of beach walking, and so I wasn't working, so I just chilled out and did some artwork. It was a baby room.
Amazing. And so you decided to go with the Australian continuity midwifery care model. Is that the right word for it?
I think that's what you call it. Yeah, just continuity care. My doctor didn't tell me about it. I don't know if many of the doctors really know the options. They kind of just like booked me in with them, and I was like, oh no, I'm gonna go. I want to try and get in the continuity care. And she was like, oh, okay. So and they've it's quite competitive to get into if you don't get in early. I missed out with my second baby when we were in the city. I think it's really competitive up there. But I got into it, and it was, so nice. And I did the birthing classes at that hospital as well. So we got to tour the birthing rooms and we got to see all the different, like, ways you can birth and the different options they had there, and it was really nice. So the hospital it's very small, and there's no doctors on, so if you have any complications you have to be transferred. Or if for some reason you need an epidural, like, they only have the gas there, so if you need any other pain relief, you have to get transferred. And it's that, yeah, they only take really low risk pregnancies. And at one point my iron got a bit low and I almost lost my spot there, but I got it back up. I tried so hard. I took so many iron supplements and got it, like I just scraped through. I was like, oh, thank God. But yeah, I almost lost my spot because of that.
So with this care model, you said you actually got the same midwife as well through the entire process.
Yeah, she would just like book me in and come to my home with the student and just do all the like observations and stuff there and have a chat, and then book me in for my next one, and same thing, yeah, throughout the whole pregnancy, which was really nice.
Yeah, no, that's super nice that she had, like, she came to your home. And so,
yeah,
so when you say city earlier, you said the city, is that Gold Coast?
Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane.
So yeah, my partner like had to fight to be transferred to Brisbane, because otherwise I would have had to move to Darwin away from all my family and support, which we didn't want.
Yeah.
He had one of the higher up guys in the army really liked him, and luckily I got him transferred, so we were so lucky. We got a rental in Brisbane like probably a month or two before the baby was due, but I continued to live down, like we got the baby room ready and everything up there, but I continued to live with mum and dad because we were in the continuity care down here. And we wanted to keep it like that.
Yeah. And did they ever say why your iron levels fell so much?
They didn't really know, but I'm also vegetarian, so could have been a bit of that. And I've always kind of struggled with my iron levels. Like I've always had to take supplements and stuff, so I don't really think they pinpointed it.
Yeah, no, I think that's...
But the other thing that they were watching too was my thyroid function. It was starting to change during my pregnancy, because I think you can get like a pregnancy-induced thyroid problem. But it stayed like okay enough to stay in the continuity care.
Amazing.
So
for the continuity of care, you pretty much have to have very, very little complications that might arise.
Because the hospital is like just can't take any risk because they've got no obstetricians there.
Okay, so can you not give birth at the hospital in the city with this program?
They do have a program there, but I missed out on it.
Okay.
They were full. So, yeah, I tried to get into it, but, yeah, it was already full, so I missed out. Yeah. Damn.
Okay.
But I still had just the midwifery care.
Amazing. And so when you
gave
birth to your first within this program, what was your birth like? What was labor, delivery, and all of that like?
So when I was 5 days overdue, I think I'd had an appointment like a couple days earlier, and the midwife wasn't like, the baby was still so high, and she was like starting to think I was going to have to be induced because the baby wasn't dropping.
Yeah.
And so I was trying everything to get the baby to drop lower because I was already overdue. And I was like doing heaps of stretching and like still doing the splits and everything from the circus background. And heaps of walking. And when I was 5 days overdue, I was walking on the beach with my mum and I started getting like little niggles, like tightenings. And I was like, oh, this could be it. And mum was so excited. And like we went home, I think that was in the afternoon, and there was a storm coming over, and it was kind of like, you know how storms give that like something in the air?
It's
just like, I just thought, yeah, this is going to happen. And had dinner and everything, and then it started getting a little bit more intense. And I remember my first like actual contraction that wasn't just Braxton Hicks tightening, and I was on my hands and knees, and I was like, oh my God, okay, this is gonna be hard. Like, it was like this first one, and it just hit me so hard, and I was like, all right, it's beginning. And I was very sick, and I think my body was just getting rid of everything, like, so it could focus on labor.
Mm.
And that lasted probably an hour or two being sick. And after that, it was just like really, I had it was in my back a lot, like really, I think maybe she was a bit posterior. I don't know. Yeah. It was just really hurting in my back. And so I had like heat packs on my back, and I had to lean forward for every single contraction. If I was ever like lying on my back when one hit, I thought I was going to die. Wow. Because yeah, it looked like I was stuck like a turtle on my back. But I had to be forward for every contraction, and that's the way I got through it. And we called Talia, and she was just finishing a 12-hour shift at the hospital. So poor thing. And she came to my birth up straight from there. So she was wrecked, but she was so excited. And we had a house full of people, but no one kind of woke up because it was through the night that everything was going on. And I kind of just like went from the shower to the bedroom, like kind of back and forward, just like coping with it. And just at some point I just decided, I think I'm ready to go in now. Like, I don't know, it's just something came over me, and I was just like, yep, I feel ready. I think we need to take this to the next level. Like, it's not, because I knew the baby wasn't going to be born at home, and I was like, well, be born in the hospital, so I think it's time to go. And Talia knew that there's nothing worse than going into hospital too early, like so she actually checked how far along I was for me. She had all her gear with her.
So
she checked me just to make sure, and I was 5 centimeters, so she was like, yep. And we called the midwife, who actually was an on-call midwife because no one was like manning the birth suite at the time. Like, you have to call them and then they'll come in.
Yeah.
So she was like, okay, are you, she even chatted to Talia on the phone, like, are you sure she's ready to come in? Because she had to come a bit of a way to meet us at the hospital.
Oh, okay.
And the last thing she wanted to do was to have to send me home, because it was like a first baby and everything. They're a bit like, oh, it's slow.
Mm.
So Talia was like, yeah, she's ready. And we went in, I think, when I got to hospital, they checked me again, and I think I was 6 or 7 centimeters. So I was progressing pretty well. And I labored in the bath from there, but it is an old hospital, and the bathtubs there were only like, you know, the spa baths that are just in people's houses, like just in like a big bathroom.
Yeah.
So they're not very deep.
Yeah.
And because I was having to get forward for all my contractions, my bum was actually coming out of the water.
Mm.
So they determined that I wasn't allowed to birth in the water because I couldn't keep my bum underneath the water.
Oh, what is it that you have to keep it underneath the water? Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's either an underwater birth or not. Like, I don't know if it like shocks the baby. I don't know the reason. I'll have to ask Talia. But they determined I would have to birth on the bed or not in the bath. So I continued to just labor in the bath because it helped, like it helped so much. And Mum and Talia set up like beautiful fairy lights all around the room, and it was just so magical. And it had been a stormy night, and then there was just the most beautiful sunrise. And so I had in the room, we had, I think, 2 midwives, Talia, my husband, my mum, and the student.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't feel crowded or anything. Like, everyone just like had their roles to play. And I started to feel like I needed to push. And So they got, they actually didn't know when my waters broke. We think it happened in the bath, but I never felt it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they got me up onto the bed and checked, and I was ready to push. And I think that lasted about 50 minutes, the pushing. Yeah. And I was just on my hands and knees on the bed, and I remember Tali being like, I can see the head. She's like, I can see this, like this much of the head. I was like, when's the whole head going to be out? I was just like, hurry up. But it was definitely, I think the pushing stage is almost a bit of a relief though, because like the labor pains in my belly and back were gone, and it was all directed to the pushing now. Mm. So that was actually, in a way, it's less painful. But when the head's crowning, like that was fun. Yeah. But like it was something like you can get through it. And I was really thinking of all the people that had done this before me, and it was almost like you were joining like a new club or something. Like, I don't know. It's all the women that had done it and I was doing it. And it kind of like, you almost draw power from that to get through it.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so my student and Talia actually caught the baby and brought her up through my legs to my chest. And it was my student's first ever birth attending. So she was like so excited. Everyone was just like so stoked. And she was a little girl and we named her Layla.
Cute.
And just like, yeah, she was so perfect. But yeah, it's just so surreal. Like, like when you're actually holding them, like, oh my god, they're here.
And
it's just so weird, like, oh, I have a baby.
Yeah. And did you know you were having a girl?
Yeah, we did, but nobody believed it, because in my husband's family they hadn't had a girl for four generations.
Are you serious?
And nobody, like, yeah, so all his family are like, no, I'm not gonna like believe it till I see it. So they kind of all had me second guessing, but I was so happy. Yeah. And we, like, all my other really good friend, she was, who works with the racehorses, the track's actually just around the corner from where I birthed. So she'd just finished work and she got the call, so she came in and saw us right after birthing. And my brothers came, and my husband's mum, because everyone's just all so local.
Mm.
And I think she was born about 8:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we headed home about midday. So it was a very short time in the hospital.
Mm.
But I remember I had the Syntocin to deliver the placenta. And it brought the contractions on really hard again, but it was all delivered fine. And the only thing I really struggled with was getting her to latch. I just, like, once she was on, it was fine. She fed really well, but the latching was really hard. So Talia actually stayed with us for like 2 or 3 days after she was born to help me like breastfeed.
That's amazing.
Which is like, we had like this, yeah, we had this live-in midwife helping us out.
It's awesome too.
She was so good.
Yeah, it's good too, because she's like your best friend, so it's like your midwife.
Yeah, and she didn't have any kids yet, so this was like amazing for her. She was loving every moment, soaking it all up. Mm-hmm. And so once we got over that like latching problem, it was just like everything was just perfect. It was very smooth sailing. And the midwives came back, I think, the next day to do checks just to my home, like we didn't have to go anywhere.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure they kept coming and checking for about 6 weeks. The checks just got further between.
Okay.
So they just like continually came in and made sure everything was going perfectly. Yeah, to So yeah, that was really good.
Amazing.
I didn't end up having the midwife that I'd had throughout all my checkups for the birth. She wasn't on, but it was another midwife that was absolutely beautiful. So that didn't bother me.
Yeah. Incredible. And so would you say, yeah, did you like that you, because I know for some people leaving the hospital after they give birth is really, really scary. Did you like that the transition was quite quick and easy? Like once you were done, you got to go home, but you also had like this massive support network around you.
Yeah, I think I would have been, if I didn't have Talia and mum and that, I think I would have been a bit scared to leave the hospital that early. But because I had so much support, it felt fine. But walking out the door with a new baby, I was kind of like, are they letting us take this baby? It's like, it kind of feels, oh my God, we're taking her, all right, okay, bye. It just like, it's so strange, like. And they're such a little stranger, like you really have to get to know them, like I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's really fun getting to know them.
Yeah, it's like this small person that's been growing inside of you, but then you get to like see half of you with like this whole,
yeah,
it's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and so it's kind of like, okay, we're taking her home now.
And so was your husband able, or your partner able to come back with you, or did he have to go back to work in Brisbane?
No, he got like 6 weeks off work, I think.
Awesome.
Leading up to the, like, so he had like the week leading up and the next few weeks off. So we stayed with mum and dad, but I think it was till she was about 6 weeks old until all the midwife checks were kind of done, and then we went back up to Brisbane and he went back to work.
Incredible. No, I love this, because one thing I've been noticing more, I've only interviewed two other Australians, including Talia, and it seems the support network here is really incredible, that you are still so close to your parents and your siblings, and that your partner was able to get that off work. So you actually had such a great support system around you after birth.
Yeah,
that must have helped postpartum so much.
Oh, so much, yeah. And my mum, she'd had three kids, so she was pretty knowledgeable, and she actually made me really confident for my birth, because she said like all of the women in our family, she's got like eight siblings or something, every single one of them had like perfect births, and she's like, you were made to birth. Don't you worry about that. And I got away with, I think I had a tiny little graze and no tearing. But it was like Talia's mission was to not let me tear. She did the warm compress on the perineum and like guided me through the pushing stage and was like, okay, stop now. And I was like, I was just listening to everything she said, and if she saw like that it was starting to look like a tear, she'd tell me to slow up and then tell me when to push again. So that helped so much.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And
so yeah,
you have another little one now. Is it a boy or girl?
Yes, a boy. His name is Mal. Yeah, so I've got a girl and a boy. His name's Mally.
Now
he's such a little cutie.
That's awesome. That's a really cute name.
So it's like, it's a very Australian name. It's from a plant. It's a eucalypt. It's a mallee tree. So cool. That's kind of where we
still learning, because you're basically opposite of Talia, because Talia had boy girl and you had girl boy.
Her little boy, her oldest and my oldest are such great friends.
Awesome.
And her youngest and Mally are like, Mally is obsessed with her new little baby. Like every time we see her, he's kissing her on the head, and he's recently turned one, so he's like tottering around and being super cute. He's not hit the full toddler stage yet, so Yeah.
Do you guys live near each other, you and Talia?
Yeah, I think it's about 20 minutes.
That's perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got married in April, mm-hmm. and then got pregnant straight away. Like, we were like, oh yeah, we'll start trying again after the wedding. And then and then we were kind of shocked because we were like, okay, it'll happen really fast. But we were happy though. And I went straight, as soon as I knew I was pregnant, I went into the doctor because I wanted to get into the continuity care, but I ended up missing out still. But with him, the thyroid problem came back, and it went really bad really fast. So it must have been starting to happen with Layla's pregnancy, and then just like went really bad with Mally's, and I ended up having to get medicated for that through the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And my iron went really bad, and I ended up having to have an infusion. It was like the things that were starting to happen in the first pregnancy just went full blown in the second one. But we had this really kind of scary moment. I think I was 19 weeks pregnant, and I woke up in the night with just like extreme abdominal pain and like really sick. And after a bit, I was like, I could feel that when I first woke up, I thought that maybe it was labor, but I was feeling like I knew what labor was like, and I was feeling my uterus, and it definitely wasn't contracting. So it was something else. And we went into emergency, and they kind of just like was like, oh yeah, it's probably just ligament pain. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't think it is.
No.
And then, yeah, and they did an ultrasound and the baby was fine. They couldn't see anything. And they sent me home. And then like a few days later, it was like, I was just in like excruciating pain, and I went back again and they sent me home again.
Wow.
And I was going to my GP, and she was thinking something else was up. And I think she sent me back to hospital again. They sent me home. And my dad ended up, he works at a hospital, and he ended up being like, nah, come to my hospital. I'm getting you into an MRI. And he did. And it was crazy though, because I had a doctor come in to talk to me, and he's like, I don't know why they're sending you for an MRI, like there's nothing wrong with you. And I was like, okay.
You're like, I'm in pain, so something.
And then, yeah. And they did blood work, and my inflammatory marker was like through the roof. So they were like, something is wrong. And the MRI came back, and they had to send me in for an emergency surgery because my appendix had burst. And this was nine days after I had the original pain.
Wow.
So I was 20 weeks pregnant when I had to get the emergency surgery, and it was I was so scared.
Yeah.
Like, I was so, yeah. But they like assured me that it was kind of the best time to have the surgery because, like, yeah, like I think later in pregnancy it's a lot more risky, and earlier in pregnancy it's a lot more risky. So they were like reassuring me and everything, and it all ended up fine. But because it had been so long that the appendix had gone, I had like a lot of pus and stuff in my abdomen that they had to drain out, so I had to have a drain stuck in me for a few days, which was horrible. And yeah, after that in my pregnancy, it was kind of like it happened at that point where I just started feeling really good, and then that happened, and I had a pretty hard like run after that, like getting back. Yeah. But I think that was another indicator of why I liked the other model of care better, because those midwives actually, like if that happened to have happened in my first pregnancy, I think the midwives, like they knew me and they probably would have been more concerned and got things fixed quicker. But I just had different people every time, and It was really scary. I'm so glad everything worked out.
Well, yeah, it sounds almost as if your dad hadn't worked for the hospital, you would have probably never gotten an answer.
Yeah, well, I had another doctor come to me and say, like, after the surgery, like, I can't believe you didn't die. You had so much, like I can't believe you hadn't gone septic yet.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, like I'd been sent home from hospital like 3 times.
And that's just,
and they just told me it was, yeah, they just told me it was just pain from from the baby, like ligament pain. And I was like, I swear it's not.
No, that's completely
different.
Like, you're like, I've gone through labor and delivery before. Yeah. This is different.
Yeah, I was like, it's different. And mom and dad know me so well. They knew that it wasn't right. And dad was just like, yeah, calm down.
You've gone 3 times to that
emergency. So lucky. Yeah, and every time they'd done an ultrasound, they couldn't see what was wrong because the baby was blocking my appendix. So that's why nothing was coming up on the ultrasound, and they were like, yeah, nothing's wrong. But the MRI showed everything.
How scary. I know, that's what I was
thinking. Yeah.
When you said stomach pain, I was like, I hope it's not her appendix. It was your
appendix. Yeah. Well, I did have, the first time I went into emergency, I had a doctor that said, I think it's your appendix. But then his shift ended and I didn't see him again. Yeah. And then someone else took over and they ended up getting sent home. Like, it was kind of just like every time I just slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
So yeah, and because I was only 19, weeks at the time, so I wasn't getting sent to maternity yet.
Yeah.
But by the time I had the surgery, I was 20 weeks, and I was in maternity then.
Yeah, and because you said earlier you weren't in the same program that you were for the first pregnancy, where you would have had the consistent midwife who would have understood what's happening, what's normal for you, what's
not. Yeah.
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 That's scary.
And then for all my midwife appointments after that, I had to re-explain everything every time to like each person I had. So whereas if the continuity, like they would have, they know everything about you, which I think is a way better model.
It is also reassurance for you.
Yeah.
Feeling comfortable with
the person
you're talking with.
Yeah. And I went on a tour of the hospital, like for the birthing, and I was kind of, I really wanted a water birth this time. They had these like beautiful big baths, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna birth in one of them. And then I asked the lady that was giving the tour, and she was like, you can only have a water birth if an accredited water birth midwife's on. And I was kind of like, oh damn. I hope there's one. When I went into labor, I was just like so lucky. They put me with this lady, and she just happened to have her water birth accreditation, the midwife that I got assigned to. So I was just like, all the stars aligned, and I was like, yes. Yeah. But I think I was, I went 3 days over with Mally, and I just like, I woke up really early in the morning, and just like with a contraction that woke me up, and they just like very slowly kind of started, and I just walked around the house and like labored on my own, and I got in the bath for a bit, and it just sort of slowly built up, and I called Talia, and she came, and my mum was already there. Mum was tasked with looking after my 2-year-old at the time, and just so like, I think it would have been, it was like maybe 6:30 in the morning. when suddenly it just like ramped up and we're like, all right, we've got to get into hospital now. And driving there, I actually was starting to like, I was feeling heaps of pressure and I was like, oh my God, we're going to have the baby in the car. And when we got to hospital and like every few steps I was getting a contraction, I had like heaps of like pressure. And Talia was calling out for help of people to get me a wheelchair, to get up to the birth suite. And there were these people that must have just been finishing their shift at the hospital and they just ignored us. And she was like, okay then, guess we're walking. And we got up to the birth suite, and when they checked me, it was my waters that were bulging, and that was the pressure I was feeling. So it wasn't actually, the head was actually still up really high. So I was like, so that was lucky. I wasn't actually just about to drop a baby in the front of the hospital, but it fully felt like it was the head coming down, but it was like the membranes above, like that were sitting below his head, were just like bulging out like they were a head. And they got the bath run for me and got in there. And I think there was this other midwife in charge that came in, and she said there was too many people, and I was a little bit sad about this, but my mum and my daughter got kicked out of the room.
Yeah, that is sad.
Because I wanted them to be there, but yeah, she kind of just said, no, there's too many people in here. If like an emergency happens, and they're like, oh, right. So they kind of went down to the like cafe and just waited. But my daughter had been really sweet throughout the whole thing. She was like helping them fill the bath and like patting me on the back when I had a contraction. She was really, really sweet. And I labored in the water for a little bit. And once my waters burst, that was it. It was just like, baby's coming. And I think it was like two pushes and he was out.
Wow.
It was so different. Yeah. It was really fast. Like, it was just so intense once the waters went. I just, yeah. And I actually, no, like, I felt his head like drop into my pelvis. It was insane. Like I felt it like smash down.
Wow.
It was crazy. It must have just been cushioning his head so much when it went. He just dropped. And the pushing started and he was out so fast, but I didn't get to enjoy the time in the bath because there was a lot of blood loss. So they had to kind of rush me out, and I did want to deliver the placenta naturally this time, but because of the blood loss, they kind of made me have the Syntocin, but I didn't mind at that point because I had a beautiful baby on my chest. And it ended up being nothing. The blood loss, that was, the placenta was really huge. So I don't know if it was something to do with that, but it was really big and healthy, and I was glad that he was born healthy because I was a bit worried because he'd been through a surgery and and I had to have been on morphine and stuff. So, but he was perfect.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm really glad that he came out healthy and that you were, it sounds like you were at least happy with your birth, other than the fact that your daughter and your mother couldn't be there to experience that with you.
Yeah. Everything was perfect other than them getting kicked out of the room. But I understood that there was just too many people, because I think there was the midwives, my husband, Talia, a student. Yeah.
Was the size of the room similar to the one that you gave birth to Layla in?
I'd say it was a bit bigger. It's a lot newer of a hospital, and the bath was massive, and it was just newer and a bit nicer.
Yeah.
I'd say it was probably a bit bigger.
Okay.
But not too much. Yeah.
And So I wanted to ask you, for your thyroid and iron, is that stuff that they had checked when you were postpartum with Layla at all? Or is it something that they noticed just got worse when you were pregnant with Matt?
I can't remember. I don't think it was too bad after having Layla, but I think it just all went really bad once I was pregnant again. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I should have really gotten a blood test before I fell pregnant, because I'm not sure what it was like.
Yeah.
I was actually planning to, but then I fell pregnant very fast.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I was super lucky too, because I think all the COVID lockdowns happened, like Mally would have been like 3 or 4 weeks old when that happened, so I got to birth without any restrictions.
True.
Because it was right before COVID happened. I was just like so thankful of that.
Yeah, true, because when COVID happened, I don't know what it was in Australia, but was the amount of people allowed in the hospital limited?
Yeah, I think you were maybe only allowed your like partner.
Yeah. Not many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure. So I wouldn't have been allowed anyone else in the room.
Yeah, which would have been really difficult.
Yeah.
And what was postpartum like with Mally?
I was pretty shocked by the afterbirth pains. I think I had them for about 3 days and they were very intense every time I fed him. Mm. Yeah, but other than that, he was so easy to feed. Like, I don't know if it was because I was like confident in breastfeeding because I'd done it before, but he was so easy, like latching on and everything, and just like, I thought Layla was an easy baby, but he was even easier. And yeah, other than the afterbirth pains, I think it was pretty cruisy. And same thing, we got sent home, I think it was 8 hours after he was born, because they determined I was low risk and fine to go home straight away. And then I think I had only one midwife visit maybe 2 days after he was born, and that was it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the other model of care, they kept visiting me for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I just had one person come once and they came to my house, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I liked that. I didn't really want to go into the big hospital. Mm-hmm. But I did, and because then COVID happened, my 6 week checkup, which was meant to be a physical checkup, ended up having to be over the phone. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get a proper, they didn't want me to come in with a new baby. So they just did it over the phone, and she's like, just asked me if I was feeling fine. I was like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How did you feel about it being over the phone?
Yeah, I was kind of, I was a little bit worried because I wasn't getting the proper physical checkup. But yeah, that was, yeah. My doctor did know me and everything. Like, I'd been seeing her a lot, especially with when all the appendix stuff happened, and she was really supportive through that. So
that's great.
But yeah, they just didn't want me coming in with a new baby because it was when everything first blew up.
Yeah. And how do you feel like you were healing up when it came to your thyroid and your iron, and even just healing, still probably healing from the appendix and birth on top of it?
Yeah, well, I'm still having to have thyroid medication now. It still hasn't gone back to normal, and that's a year later.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to have to be on that forever now. I'm not sure if it's going to go back. But I had the iron infusion towards the end of the pregnancy, and my iron's still been great since then. Great. It did the trick. Yeah. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, if you would have been able to go into the continuity program for Mally, it sounds like you probably would have. considering the experience
you had. I definitely would have.
Yeah.
I was surprised I didn't get into it. I think I called them. I would have been pretty early. Like, I found out I was pregnant pretty early and, like, kind of got onto everything straight away, but still didn't get into it. So I'm not sure how I would have gotten into it.
Like, so, do you know what the criteria is, like, when you're trying to get into it?
I think you just have to be low risk. It would have been at the same hospital and everything, but it just would have been a different group of midwives. I'm not really sure how it would have worked, but I think it would have been just a small group of midwives and they could only take on a certain number of people.
Mm.
So that's why I missed out. Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
But they did try and get me into it. And, my name got put down and everything, but they must have just had too many people.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I remember Talia saying
that was
so competitive.
Yeah. Especially because it's in the city, like, there would have been a lot of people that wanted it. But I think, too, because I knew a lot more and it was my second baby, I didn't need as much support as with my first. And, I already had a lot of education and everything because I'd done it before. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really nice for most first time mums to get that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
They just guide you really well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the midwifery continuity care model, if I'm pronouncing it right. That is such an incredible model that you got all of that support. You know, like, you got the same midwife going to all your appointments. Obviously, it's not the same person that you birthed with, but it sounded like it was still a really comfortable experience with your birth and the fact that
you
were able to come to your home. That is huge. Like, the last thing you want to do is try to get yourself together and your baby together to go to appointments.
Yeah. The midwife that missed out on my birth, she actually turned up for her shift right after Layla was born. So she was like, oh my God, you did it without me.
I also just wanted to say, I'm also sorry again for the experience you had when it comes to trying to get that appendix diagnosis. You should have been.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that
you
had your dad who was like, no. We're gonna get this handled
I think it was so, like, every time I went to the hospital they were absolutely, like, run off their feet. They were so busy. Mm-hmm. And I think I mustn't have been, like, I'm very, like, cheery person, and I think I'm still managing to, like, smile and talk normally, and they kind of were like, oh, she's not that bad. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what happened. And so I was just kept slipping through the cracks. But yes, we got there in the end.
I'm glad you got there.
Yes. I ended up having a beautiful birth. So I'm very happy with that.
Amazing. And how have you been doing over COVID with two little ones at home?
When everything first happened up in Brisbane, all the playgrounds and everything got shut.
Yeah.
And we'd still go out for walks, and it was so hard to get a two-year-old to walk past a playground.
Yeah.
But we got there in the end, and we ended up coming up with lots of activities, and we were very excited to buy a house and move down here, so where we are now. So
great.
And get out of the city. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad
we've done pretty well, I think.
Glad it was.
Yeah.
That you were able to get the house. I think getting a house helps so much. Because were you in a house before in the city?
We were just in a rental.
Yeah.
So, we're just so excited now that we've got our own place and we got a puppy. So,
there you go.
I was so excited because we never, she's mad. So, she keeps the kids entertained.
Makes your life a bit easier. And if anyone wants to reach out to you at all about your experience or ask you any questions, where would be the best place for them to find you?
I'm not sure. Maybe, I think, would it do you reckon Instagram? I think my Instagram's on public.
Yeah, people love Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think Facebook sends messages from people you don't know to like another folder.
I think so. Yeah, it goes to kind of like, I think
yeah.
Instagram as well, but I think you still get a notification.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What's your Instagram hold?
It is. Hang on, I'm looking it up. It's Emily_May, M-A-Y, and R.
Perfect. So that's good for people to know and good for me to know because I can tag you when I post this up. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It was actually such an honor.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. It's so good to be able to hear the differences because obviously in the U.S. we don't, I mean, only 10% of the U.S. population births with midwives. It's not.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's interesting because like we are constantly looking to like Canada and Australia for support, but there's still even a gap in the public healthcare system model. And it seems like,
yeah.
It seems like the first model that you used for Layla is such an incredible model. I would love to eventually see, you know, the US get to that point.
Yeah.
See Australia get to a point where that's just standard. We want to thank Emily so much for coming on and sharing her story with us. If you're interested in reaching out to Emily, you can find her at Emily_MayR on Instagram. It was so lovely to be able to connect with her, especially after, you know, interviewing Talia and then their best friends and hearing their experience of birthing in this system. So thank you so much for listening. If you are interested in coming on the Onus podcast, feel free to reach out to us at hello@theonuscollaborative.com. It is totally free. And if you're a provider interested in coming on the podcast, feel free to actually go ahead and sign up for free on our directory and we will get on to you. So thanks for listening and we'll see you all next week. Bye.